So I'll probably promise not to sing, but you never know with me. Hopefully you have one of the sheets called the 7 Hours of Prayers. I passed them out last week. If not, raise your hand, and Mr. Paletti is standing, so he'll get one for you. I thought next week will be devotional, so I thought this might be a good kind of one-time class because prayer is connecting with God, and that's what we were talking about in our worship series is connecting with God. And, you know, a lot of us here have been Christians a long time, so hopefully we have a very, is that on? Looks like it is.
It is.
It is, it is. It wasn't me. It was Mr. McQuinn. He's a sharp dude. Thank you, Jeannie. And thank you, Jeannie, so much for, she's the one that made that class possible last week, the worship series, of doing it from a YouTube to a two-tube and an MP something or another. And I couldn't figure out any of that, so she's pretty smart. We are blessed in this congregation. But anyhow, hopefully, you know, some of us have a seasoned prayer life. And maybe if, and, you know, you got the sheet, you can read it, look at scriptures, that's cool. Maybe I'm going to ask you in a minute what works for you. Maybe we can learn from one another. Because I think that almost everyone I've ever talked to as a Christian, I'll just maybe open this as a question, feels like they could still improve their prayer life. I've met rare people that really feel like they have their prayer life down or have it as well as they want. Almost everyone ever says, yeah, you know, I could tune it up a notch or do better. I hear a lot of people shaking their head that, Kip?
Yeah, I pray during the day off long, but sometimes when I go to bed, I go to pray, but sometimes I fall asleep right in the middle of the prayer. But then I'll wake up in the middle of the night, I'll say, I start over before I left off, so I finish it.
Well, that's a good way to go to sleep, though, praying.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you have some better dreams. So that's good. Yeah, sometimes the day just gets by, and we don't. Now, maybe that suggests something. I'm just kind of jumping around here, but having a time. We can either, same thing as we talked about worship, we can either just kind of let it happen during the day, but it's often very helpful in our life. I mean, the Muslims have 5 times a day they do it, okay? From what I understand and talking to someone, it's kind of just a rote thing that they do mechanically, but at least they're doing it. So let me just ask that question for you, and you know this is voluntary, but what works for you as far as timing or having a schedule for it, per se? And we don't want to make it mechanical. Myrna?
I started doing this when I started working. I would just start talking to God as I was driving, and through the day things would come up, and I would just pray. And I never ended my prayer until I was driving home. And then I would end it.
So that, I don't know how I could hear Myrna when she started working, would be just talking to God. And that's one good thing, is that what prayer really is just talking to God. It don't have to be all hither, thither, all great, all almighty one. You know, sometimes you hear and people put on like a prayer voice or something, you know, a Baptist prayer voice. Oh, I better quit that. Anyhow, but just talking to God. And I know people that ride with me, they do a lot of talking to God. And Douglas asked Pat, when we picked him up, asked her if she'd hit her head. And she said, no, why? Well, why are you letting Gary drive? Says he can't see at night. But others, for what works for you, if you don't mind sharing? Don't be bashful. Ron? Honest, how? Honesty, open-minded, and willing to change. So there's an important point, our attitude in prayer. You know, if it's not just pass the peas, I forget, man, those ones, you know, the Lord bless this day, pass the peas, let's eat, and thank you, please, or something like that. But coming to him, and we talked about that in worship, with the right attitude and a willingness to change. If I'm asking God for help, and he knows better than me, maybe I need to change, not him. Sometimes we look at prayer maybe as a genie, you know. Not the genie, where'd you go? Not that one, but gimme, 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 gimme. And maybe he's saying, well, that's not what you need anyhow. And look, the genie appeared. Wow. Now, Ron recently did, I don't know how long ago it was, the one on the disciples' prayer. I think we call it, not the Lord's Prayer, but the Disciples' Prayer. And Yeah, and we had a number of weeks on that. That was a really good class. Hopefully got to partake in that. But there really are no, I don't see any real prescribed methods in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. So to me, it's kind of like an art form. Maybe that's a sacrilegious word, but no, it's something you have to learn for yourself. And yet there's tons of books and materials written, but we can learn from one another. But I know a lot of guys that I'm working with as new Christians, they want help with that. And so suggestions or whatever are really helpful. Dan?
Well, it's always available. And I go back to what Mark was going over in the first few chapters of the Revelation, the awesomeness of the Lord Jesus, since he was portraying the majesty that John experienced. And I think, I'm rethinking that, because Mark was going after this whole idea of Jesus is your buddy, and suggesting, well, in some respects, yes, he might be our best friend and a very close confidant, and we can talk to the Lord, we can talk to the Holy Spirit, we can talk to the Heavenly Father. They're all part of divinity. But as far as my method, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, a great while before day, I'm following his example, and I get up and say, well, you know, I'm up. Let's talk it over here a bit. And he's busy on the other side of the world. You know, at 3 o'clock, what time is it over there in China? So he's dealing with all the Chinese issues and the Middle East issues, and God's got his hands full, but he has time enough for me and little old North Florida Dan sitting there in his comfortable chair, reflecting on the awesomeness of God. And so I can go to the max and say, you know, how are you handling the problems of the world, Heavenly Father? Or I can reduce it down to Dan and Chris and say, how am I doing with my sweetie? How's she doing with me? You know, and that's some of you already hear about that. But that's the thing that we all have, some of us have grandchildren and son and daughter-in-laws. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can sit over, it's quiet. And the little animals are doing what they do. The deer are out eating my flowers and her plants. And I can just talk to someone that when my time comes and I go to room temperature, well, I'll be there. And I don't know that we can. Back to you, Gary.
Wow. Brings up several good points. The scope of prayer, mm-hmm. from you know, just our own individual little world that we live in, you know, a little family situation or a personal situation, and that's fine and appropriate, to the bigger things, if you want to call it that, of what's going on in the world, and we're told to pray for our rulers. We'll be looking at some scriptures, but there are things that we are told to pray for our enemies. That's a really strange one, quote. So there's things that we are told to do that, but one of the things in any given prayer, what I liked about this, I stole this from a guy named John MacArthur, who's not a member of the church, but and you know how preachers do, the 7 R's of prayer. It just was a tool. There's a lot of tools, lots and lots of books written on prayer, lots and lots of articles of different techniques or methods that people have found that have worked for them. There's, if you ever seen, you know, all the whatever the Bible, I think it was Locklear wrote that, all the prayers of the Bible, and that's a really good study. Been one of that long time ago we had somewhere, hitting kind of the key, just look for different prayers in the Bible. So that's a good example. See how people were praying, what they were praying for. Often theirs fit, and maybe that's because that's why they're written in the bigger category, praying for repentance for the nation. You know, praying for, you know, kind of the big situation, not even their personal stuff, but their whole tribe or their nation or the world situation per se. So that's good. Douglas?
Myself, I being in this group and everything, it reminds me of our recovery group, which is our step 11, where we sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God through Jesus Christ, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And that was what reminds me of when I do prayer, is having a conscious contact with him. turning off everything and devoting everything to Him, showing respect and, you know, awe in what He does and everything else.
Good definition. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what works for me.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good definition, a conscious contact with God. Is this is something I'm purposely doing, I'm intending to do it, just like worship, not it's dinner time, I got to throw one in quick, you know, before we eat. But that, and then in the 11th step, if any all ever, with that, it's particularly focused, what is God's will for my life? We can have a lot of prayers, but in that one, what does God want me to be doing? And again, a lot of ours are requests, and I'm not saying that's bad, but what does He want me to do? And sometimes it's like God says, I already told you, dummy. You know, it's already there. What are you waiting on? You know, we pray for God to do this and do that. Well, you're my hands, you're my feet. What's the matter for you? Get out and do it. And anyhow, had a handy to Becky or Jeannie.
Well, there's two things. Most of the time my prayers are thank you prayers.
All right.
Especially to new Christians, I think that's a beautiful example of what they should be praying for.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and Paul's prayer life, wow, he had to spend hours and hours because he mentions these people, but for wisdom and understanding and insight into God's will for their life. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe some of the problem with our prayer. We're asking, we're going against what He really wants us to do anyhow. And so maybe that's why they're not answered. John, did you have your hand up?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm kind of the opposite of Gene. I've been begging for mercy. I think of Psalm 51. I'm just going to read the first
one. Yeah, go ahead. That'd be good. That's what we want to do.
This NIV 1984. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, I found myself, every time I go in my BDUs, I have that mark, Psalms 51, just kind of, you know, because, you know, you're around a lot of heathens, good heathens, so they'll die for the flag, but I doubt if they'll die for the cross, but that's enough. I can't be judgmental because I got three going back to me, but you know, you just say, Lord, help me to not behave this way or talk this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So always asking for mercy.
Yeah. Well, let me suggest that you're both right. And we look at the seven R's, and you could have 17 R's or 77 R's. All of them are correct. And that suggests to me that's pretty neat about God, that He's open to all that. Doesn't mean He has to respond the way you want, but He listens. And He answers to all those different things. I know a lady, this may seem trivial, but she used to pray for a parking spot close to where she worked, downtown Gainesville. And part of that was she got out later at night and just for safety cause. But, you know, even for that, you know, and there's, I might suggest there's nothing too little and nothing too big. And what's on our heart at our time, see, just think of that too. If there was some kind of formality, God said, well, no, that's not the day for that. This is Wednesday. Wednesday has to be mercy prayers. You can't be asking me for stuff. That's only every other Saturday. And I know it's kind of silly, but I mean, any kind of way we want to go with Him, he's willing to listen. That's a pretty amazing thing. You can't get that from, if you're going to get an audience with the governor or your CEO or someone like that, it's going to be a limited time to a specific topic. Lennon?
That's the reason that He tells in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing.
Right. Yeah.
That's why you don't say amen after
a prayer. Oh, never get done. Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Sometimes we have to pray without an assurance of what the answer's going
right.
to be, and I can illustrate that in my life. Right now, I've got quite a few years of marriage under my belt. When I first obeyed the gospel, I said to myself, self, how do you find a wife? That's complicated. Well, I trust Him and trust that I can pray about that and just keep keep those things up. Now, my timing and God's timings are quite different. We all know that. But the thing that I did, I prayed for 2 years and then went on living my life. But that prayer was in there amongst my list of things that he and I needed to take care of. And we're talking the awesome creator of the universe, me and all it contains. So we're talking to him, and 2 years is just sort of unfolding. Now, met Chris, Miss Chris, in Abilene, Texas. She was out there getting her master's, and I was out there getting a ministry degree. And come to find out, our paths crossed at Callaway Gardens in Georgia. Okay,
that's
but
right.
I didn't know her, but her mother was in my small group at Callaway Gardens, and that's Ruby. And we have cute things about that, but another day on that. Now, and here's the thing I'm talking about. I had no clue of who she was going to be. The Heavenly Father put us together, and in his behind-the-scenes providence, she looked a little old. I was a lot skinnier then. Student at Abilene Christian, and I noticed that she made good rolls, and obviously,
what's up?
You're about to fall off his chair here now.
That's why you're a little have a little bit more weight.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You know, I've already been admonished by a dear brother who says gluttony is a sin, Dan, and I said I'm working on it. Now, that's another, back around to getting to the point, Dan. I can sit here at 71 and look at the years that have unfolded since God put Chris and Dan together and all of that. Now, I can look, I can look at the two boys that came from us and their careers and what they're doing with their family. My daughters-in-law, that are interesting, dynamic women, my grandchildren, and then she's got pictures all over the house, like some of you all have in your home. So what's your point? Well, the point is, I prayed without any uncertainty of who that was, right? God put us together in a providential way. We followed his guidelines and rules for marriage, and we're still working on them. But we did it according to the book, because we fear God, we love and respect him, and seek righteousness. She and I hunger and thirst for that. And now I can look back over many years of our marriage, as some of you all do, and say, now that is some kind of answer to old Dan's prayer at 20. A long story and a lot of detail in it, but we're talking about prayer. And the thing I'm asserting is you can pray for something and not quite sure about how he's going to work it out, but now I can look back over that span and I've shared just a few points, and I'm thinking, I'm pretty satisfied with the way he answered that prayer about helping me to find a good wife. And so there's an example, and maybe all of you can say something about the same as I have about how you prayed when you were younger, and now you can look back and say, wow, what an answer.
Yeah.
What a God we serve.
Yeah, right? Amen. That suggests several things. We've done this a number of times at the prison, and I've not seen it elsewhere, but it's a wonderful idea. It's when we take prayer requests, and then we have someone that particularly is designated when they're answered. And if you keep a prayer journal, then to go back and look at, you'll learn a lot by this, and you're talking about a long span, but it can be a short span, long span.
Right.
You look at the prayer you had, and then you see how God answered it, and it'll be pretty amazing to you, because it'll often be very different, and that would suggest, well, there's nothing wrong with a specific prayer for a specific thing, and I know in ministry I've done that, and God will do something different, and I have to admit, and that's obviously true, his answer is always better than what I thought was. I thought I knew what should be done, and he's always been smarter. So he's got veto power, I guess. But so it's okay to do it specifically, but give leeway for him to work. Maybe if we really got what we wanted, we would have found out that wasn't so good after all. Might not work so well. Bob?
I'm not going to go into details unless someone asks me later, but I find it remarkable the similarities between Dan's story with his wife and my dad with his wife.
Wow.
Amen. A lot of things were kind of in parallel there.
Cool. And then one other thing, and then we'll get to this, and because the scriptures here, that's the principle. So that's what I want to emphasize. We learn from our lives, but by following the scriptures, how it's going to be beneficial. And I forgot what that thing was. I was going to say. Anyhow, it slipped my mind. Could have been. All right, let's look at some of these. Out of the seven, you got reverence, reflection, repentance, restoration, request, renewal, and rejoicing. Like I said, there could be 77, not seven. What do you think is the most, if God has a counter, which is the one he gets of the seven that he gets the most of, probably? Request. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. And I would suggest this, and you can take me on, beat me up later. If that's all our prayers are, we're pretty immature. I think that if it's just that, then that's pretty immature. There are times that is very seriously needed. You know, we just start off with prayer. We usually end with prayer and often very specific things. But if it's just requests, I don't really see that as too mature. So reverence. Look at some verses here. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. And I don't want to have you read it, but I guess since I'm by the mic, I'll do that. I've got the ESV, 1 Chronicles 29. This is with another page under reverence. And, of course, this is the temple situation and doing that. And here's David. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. So we talked about worship. We talked about the idea of blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We sing, so here's public. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." Our Father which art in heaven, you'll see that kind of phrase. So who are you talking to? That's an important thing. Addressing them with reverence. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Boy, it's a whole big list. We could study just that tonight. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Okay, so he's got it all, the cattle on a thousand hills, which includes me. Okay, so I'm supposed to belong to him, and you're supposed to belong to him. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. So it's coming in reverence, recognizing who it is. And there is the Abba Father kind of familiar kind of thing, but there definitely needs to be reverence for the creator of the universe. 12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. So the sovereignty and the supremacy of God. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, in other prayers, in his hand is to make great and is also to
get
strength and to humble people. He exalts some and he pulls some down. It talks about rulers of the world. He don't mind pulling them down and taking care of them. Some of them very speedily. Mini Tico Parson, your days are numbered, and they were very quickly numbered. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. 13. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And then you can go on from there. I'll just do one more. 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? What is man that thou art mindful of? Why me? I mean, I'm a nobody, yet I'm able to come to you. So that's great reverence there. And, you know, read the bigger context. Thoughts on that one? It's a lot of attributes of God. And be able to thank him for that. We just did some of that in our worship series. And that's a good study, too, the attributes. Really good study. The attributes of God or even the names of God. That's a really good study because getting to know God is what everything. Oh, I know what it was. Now I finally remembered. That happens to old people. If we're going to spend eternity with God, wouldn't it be good to get close to him now? I mean, that seemed kind of obvious. Okay, Becky.
Right after what you finished reading, I like what David said there. It says, "And of your own we have given you." So he was recognizing that he
Yeah, verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have you given, we given you. So it belongs to you. If we think about a tithe or whatever, well, he's the one that gave it anyhow. So he gives us that we can give.
But for me, when I read how David talked to God here, and when I realize that that's the same God that I serve, it kind of puts things in perspective of how big God is mm-hmm. and how small each of us are.
And that's why, the very good point, I think that's why at times we need to swap up and you know, you do whatever in your prayer life, but we need to change a plan, change the method, maybe go to an R, this R instead of another one, because it can be easy to forget that. And maybe get, then another one, you take me out and stone me. Maybe we get a little too chummy with God and not having that reverence that ought to be there too. So, I don't know, but yeah. But yeah, read the context. The other one, First Chronicle, oh, we did that one. Lamentations 3. 22 and 23. So the best thing you can do is, yeah, we look at these, is look at these different. And maybe, hopefully, what you'll do as you're doing your Bible reading, you'll be picking out in the next couple of weeks, oh, there's a prayer. And that's a good thing to make a note of. And you go back to that. And I could use that. And do, you know, as you're reading through, look at the different prayers of the Bible. And look at, hey, that's the best way you can model.
Yeah. Brief. Think of the Psalms as David's prayer journal. And when you start with Psalm 1 and start going through them and at a good pace, and think of it as his prayer journal. When he had enemies, who was he talking to? When things were going well, who's he talking to? When he had to confess sins, who's it? Again, the Psalms as David's prayer journal. And if you want to figure out what an incredible man David was, from his highs and his lows, read his prayer journal, which we call the Book of Psalms.
Yeah. And there's a number of amazing things about that. Number one, it's 3,000 years old. I don't know if you ever, in history class or whatever, had to read old literature, and it's like, what is this? I mean, it's really like, what am I reading this for? And then it's a sign. But it's so relevant. And the other thing that's really cool and why people, I think, identify with the Psalms is it's the heart of the person. He's angry. He's hurt, he's lonely, he's excited, he's praising God. You see his heart and his passion really coming out.
That's right.
And it's all able to go for him. Mary?
I think a lot of times we're praying to God. If the Book of Psalms is David's prayer, that was also their book, their song book. So I think there are many times that we're praying that we don't identify that we're praying. When we sing joyful, joyful, we adore thee, that's a prayer to God. So it isn't always asking requests. I think there are many times we are actually praising God and we're not in our minds identifying that as a prayer to God.
Yeah.
That's just words maybe coming out of our mouth, but we should do a brain search or whatever, reset that, hey, this is me talking to you, God, in a prayer.
Yeah, and that's where getting a broader picture of these things, psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms, that's part of what we're doing when we do those things. So look at the words of the songs we sing or the psalms. If that's coming from our heart, that is then going before him as a type of prayer and communication.
Building on what Mary just said, Fanny Crosby is an incredible songwriter. Mm-hmm. And if you think, that's a unique concept. That those are Fanny Crosby's prayers that we're saying. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Mm-hmm. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And on we could cite and think. Now, when we hymn those, along with many others, like some of our brethren have put hymns in there, that we are hymning prayers that others have written that are now set to a melody. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Mary.
I think of the one, It Is Well With My Soul. A lot of times when we all be singing, I'd be reading the history of it.
Yeah.
And here's the guy that lost his family, and you know the history. And
right.
So that's a prayer. And that's pretty amazing. When you understand the background of that, it makes the song, to me, a lot more meaningful. That in spite of everything that was going wrong, he's still praising God. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty cool.
Well, also, if life is praying without ceasing, you are not always on your knees.
Right.
You're not always, whatever. Right. I mean, so we need to rethink exactly what a prayer is. It's yeah. more than what we think.
Connection and communication with God, which we can have, other than sleep, I suppose, 24/7, even in our work, as Myrna brought up. I mean, yeah, you need to focus. You don't want to lose your finger, but you can still be thanking God for helping you at work and being with you mm-hmm. and keeping you safe and helping you to smile when you really want to. Thomas?
Yeah, the author of Rock of Ages, that's actually in England, and there is a plaque where that person was trapped in a storm, and he was sheltered by a rock in that storm, and he wrote the Rock of Ages.
I heard that was Martin. Is that what's the one Martin Luther did?
No,
a different one. Okay. Yeah, and he was in the storm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Lamentations. There's just way more we'll have time for. So again, this is for you, and hopefully to help you personally. And if not, I'll give you your money back. Lamentations 3:22-23, and this one's going to be familiar. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You need to drown me out. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. And then, you know, all throughout that, it's type of prayer, okay? Talking to God, praising him for who he's, what he's done in their lives, taking them out of Egypt, a bunch of slaves, and making them into the promised land. They didn't do it.
The Lord is my shepherd is a great help.
Hmm?
The Lord yeah. is my shepherd.
Yeah, and I don't know, there's a bunch of different ways that psalm. Psalm 23, probably the best known psalm. Hebrews 13:15, I don't remember. I think it's about the oftenness of prayer. And then we'll go on to some other ones, just try to hit some highlights. Yeah, okay. And here again, sacrifices pleasing to God, chapter 13. What's God pleased with? Amazing book, Hebrews. Through him, Hebrews 13:15, through him let us continually, this fits our class that we just did, but also prayer, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Okay? That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. That's pretty cool. And then, of course, it's hard to do anything without the proper context. Do not neglect to do good and to share with what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So there's two parts of the sacrifice there, offering up, which we did in worship, but then doing good to other people. There's a saying, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. So if you're in your prayer closet all day and you forget to feed the poor or whatever, and there's something missing. Now, maybe there's a time to be in the prayer closet all day, but you got to have some balance there. But, you know, that's cool. And okay, thoughts on that? Otherwise, we'll go to the next one, which is reflection. And we could do a week on each one of these easy. Ron?
I just, for some reason, I thought of Luke 22:44.
Okay, read that aloud. Good and loud.
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Great agony, that's Jesus. So that's certainly a time for prayer and talking to his father, and we know what was he asking, at least one of the things we know he was asking. Let this cup pass from me. It was probably a lot more than that, obviously, just by the time involved. But, and so that's a good time to be talking to God. Now, on the other side of that, sometimes the only time people come to God in prayer is when things have really gone wrong. And then we go, oh, Lord, help me. And maybe we should ask them before we started to do whatever we were going to do. Lord, is this, and not help me to do this, but is this what you want me to do? You know, give me guidance in that. 46:10, and Mike's got a little title, God is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. So here's the thing, and this, again, is another one I can get thrown out in the parking lot. There's an idea of, and some methods that people use. There's a reading the scripture. Often people will do that. And then there's a time maybe of meditation or reflection and a time of prayer. Some people say, and I don't want to get charismatic, whatever, but they're reading, and then they're kind of just meditating. And to me, at least, the minimum meditation is what would God have me do with this in my life? But it's kind of a listening, and I'm not saying God's going to come and, well, Gary, I want you at 3:45 to go down to the Burger King and meet Skip and, you know, whatever. But there's something of to the Holy Spirit, and I don't know how all that works, but sometimes it's, I don't know if it's getting a message or getting an understanding of how I'm to apply that in my life. And I can see sometimes I read the scripture, and it, sometimes, if nothing else, like a mirror, it shows me that I'm off this way. So I need to make a correction to get in line with the Word of God. But it's what I'm saying is sometimes there's a time for a pause and to kind of listen and think on and meditate. And I'm not talking about meditation where you meditate on your belly button and go, all day. But thoughts on that reflection in prayer, personal reflection.
That verse you just read, I'm not positive, but I do believe there's actually a psalm written on that one also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before that, and again, the context, come behold the works of the Lord. So you're just kind of observing and seeing who God is. And then sometimes it's just, I guess what I'm saying, sometimes it's good to, if I'm ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba prayer, sometimes it's good to just shut up. And Pat will remind me of that quite often, shut up. So just slow down a bit and absorb and take in what's there. Dan?
In reflection, if, as we get older and we spend a great deal of time in His Word from Genesis through the Revelation, and then back away and try to see the broad picture and say, you know, God's gone to a lot of trouble on this planet to get salvation and redemption and the whole kingdom established and set up, and look at here, coming up to Malachi, Genesis through Malachi, and the prophets and all of the things that we've heard from the pulpit, and then Jesus and everything that He allowed His Son to do, the begotten one, and even that has huge meaning. And then as the kingdom unfolds, and then we can be a part of the kingdom, we can be blood-bought sheep, and that makes our value go where? If it's the blood of Jesus, His only begotten Son, that redeems us, purchases, that means we're blood-bought sheep. He purchased the church with His own blood, and we are members thereof. If the world understood the value of the Lord's blood-bought people, who would dare to open their mouths and criticize the members of the Lord's church? You understand that it's the awesome God, and look what He's done from Genesis to Revelation to establish this thing that we're participating in. And again, the scope, so that you suggest, well, do you ever reflect on that? I said, yeah. Using Alexander, and on we could go and go and go and go. We don't need to do that, but just the scope of what an incredible, just last one, talking to the snake in the garden. And He set that up. Well, Paul would say from before the foundation of the world, but then talking to the snake says, her seed is going to get you, buddy, for messing up my thing in the garden. Now, when did that happen? Well, it took a while. But didn't God do good work with that, took care of that snake?
Yep. So God's got a master plan.
Yes, He does.
For the universe. And that, to me, raises the thing of, when I'm talking to God, there's a saying, a lot of people want to be in a relationship with God, most of them in an advisory capacity. So I want to tell God how He ought to do things. And maybe He's already got a lot of things figured out, and I ought to just make sure I'm in part of the plan and His will for my life rather than dictating to Him how things ought to be.
So we shouldn't get uppity?
Yeah. Amen. Rick?
I know a lot of times when I'm praying, I think of the rich man, you know, I'm going to build barns, you know, more barns for my stuff, and God calls him home. He says, you know, he should say, if God wills. And so I use that a lot in my prayer. If you will this to be done, and then I'll continue on with my prayer.
Yeah, give God the latitude to do a whole lot better than you could ever dream or imagine. And they say that in Ephesians, you know, more than we can even imagine. Don't restrict them. So this one is on reflection in Psalm 61, 5 through 8. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. So one thing with prayer, Abraham was given a promise of the Messiah that would come through him 1,800 years. Now, I think that's kind of a slow God, quote, but God had to work everything in order to be the fullness of time. So that was fulfilled 1,800 years later. So we need to be waiting. And one of the problems that so many people I've heard say, they prayed to God about something very seriously, but instead of waiting God to answer, Abraham and Ishmael, okay, instead of waiting for God to answer, they said, I don't know, he doesn't care about me, or he missed me somehow, or and they go ahead and act, and they mess it up.
We had a ladies' class years ago, and it was talking about praying to God and giving him all the troubles. And there was one sister, and I do not remember who it was, and she goes, I do that, and she goes, then I pick them all back up and throw them on my back and walk out the door.
Yeah.
She goes, I need to let God have the worries.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is so true.
Yeah. If he is that God that we just prayed about with all that power, we don't give him time and opportunity to work it out a better way. For my hope is from him. It's not in my actions. It's not in the government. They promise a lot of things. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. So there's the idea of waiting. During the long period of desert time, so to speak, on God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so in a refuge is often a waiting place. You know, I imagine they wanted to get out of the ark a lot earlier. You know, sometimes you're in a car and we get out of this thing, or you get an airplane. Please, let's now land safely, but let me get out of this thing.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, are we there yet? But the waiting on God, and then just one more on this one, and that's Psalm 131. So what I'm trying to really encourage you to do is look to the scripture as your method and means and type and way to do prayer. That it's full of it.
So, trust in him at all times.
Oh, okay.
You people, that kind of goes hand in hand with what you were saying. And also, David's son got it, because David's son wrote in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own inside, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. You're saying the same thing.
Mary was nice enough to take all these scriptures and put them in a Word document. And if you would like that, then I'm sure Mary would be willing to email it to you. Right?
Yep. I can.
And your email is?
MaryEGentry@yahoo.com.
Okay, MaryEGentry@yahoo.com. And for those of you all listening too. And oh, also, if you want this sheet, forgot to say that if you, any of you listening, I've got it in a PDF format, so I'd be happy to email that to you.
She forgot to let you know it was New King James Version.
Okay. No, she did. She did.
Well, she later told you.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't have it in her document.
Yeah, no, I saw that later, so thank you. 131, a song of ascents, going up to Jerusalem, going up to worship. O Lord, my soul is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. I really like that. Sometimes I'm not near as smart as I think I am, you know, and stick with the small everyday things. In the 12 steps, they say do the next right thing. Sometimes people want to figure everything out and plan everything out before they ever take the step, you know, just doing the next right thing. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. And that's a time when we're in a lot better, I think, spiritual position to act. We're not all anxious and frantic in our prayer or whatever. Sometimes life is that way. Things are just crazy. Things are just nuts. But sometimes when we finally calm our soul, then we'll really see a lot clearer direction. And I think that's true in a lot of areas. But if you're acting out of franticness or fear or anxiety, rather just calm down and let's get a good thing of where we need to go from here. I've calm and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. They're just content as can be, resting in mother's arms, just having a good full meal. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and evermore. Okay. Thoughts on that one? That's encouraging a time to just slow down a bit. And I'm not saying God's going to physically speak to you, but I will say for sure, the scriptures will speak to you, and the Holy Spirit working, I think, through your conscience is how I understand it, will give you direction that way. And it'll give you clarity on things that baffled you before. Douglas?
Do you think it transforms our spiritual life? It helps mature our faith.
There you go. It puts our faith to action and matures it, yeah. Yeah. Again, unbelievable. Anytime we want, he's there for me. Even though he's listening, what's that one crazy comedy where he's trying to answer, he wanted to be God, and he had 40 million people putting in requests. And then they all wanted to win the lottery. So repentance. I'll tell you what, we've already talked about, I'm going to just, 139, 23, and 24. We talked about that. Psalm 51 is kind of the classic one, isn't it? Of a really good prayer and a psalm of brokenness and repentance. Coming to God humbly to ask God to restore you. 139, 23, and 24. And this is, I think, a good prayer in itself, and this is where his reflection comes in. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, that's kind of a bold but very good prayer. Not coming to you telling you what I need, but Lord, you know what's the matter for me, and show me that, and show me how to fix it. And guess what? He gives us the tools to fix it. But that's kind of an open thing, is that It ain't Skip and Myrna that are the problem in my life. It's me. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Show me. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I need guidance. Show me where I need help. And he'll do it. He might do it, you know, through the scripture. He might send Lyndon my way and say, hey, you big dummy, what's the matter for you? And Lyndon will point out something that I didn't see in my life. The heart is deceitful above all else, and who can know it? Jeremiah says, we can't see our own flaws at times. Okay? And I think with David, obviously Nathan, I mean, it was there, but he was trying to hide it, cover it, and then when the prophet Nathan comes, you know, it's exposed. So I think having that's a really good prayer, that, Lord, you look at me and you show me what needs adjusting, rather than me telling you what you need to do for me. Jeannie?
It reminds me of the parable of the speck in your neighbor's eye that you want to remove when you've got a log in your own eye.
Mm.
So often we want to fix someone who has a trait similar to ours, and we don't like it in them. We've got it ourselves.
There's a saying, if you spot it, you got it. Sometimes what irritates you most about other people is they're just like you.
Right.
Now, you may have it in a different sense. You may have it in a, it may be manifest in your life another way. But it really irritates is that person's a lot like me. And start with self. And then, of course, you become qualified to then help other people.
That's right, Gary. Hmm? The instructions that Jesus gave, he said, take it out. If Jesus says we can take it out, we can take it out.
Yeah.
I mean, he means what he says. And all we have to do is have faith enough to believe if Jesus says, I can remove the log, I can take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and then you will see
clearly
to get that speck thing that Jeannie was talking about. But, you know, maybe we need to do some exercise spiritually to figure out what kind of strength do I need to pull this log out of my pumpkin head here. But Jesus does promise you can take it out. Somebody over here was.
Yeah, and then, and so don't forget the other person, but first do that, and again, to use scripture or having accountability partner to someone that can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want to share it for the whole congregation. I'm struggling with this. And somebody that can give you guidance and direction, say, well, here's the scriptures. Let's pray about it. Here's some things you can do. And they don't even mind pointing it out when you do it. And say, oh, there, Skip will tell me, there you go again, Gary. And then, well, thank you, Skip, you know, after I hit him. But, you know, to have someone that will point it out in your life. Ron, did you have your hand up? Okay.
139:11-12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, where darkness is as light as you.
Wow. So, when and it's dark, it's not dark to God. That's cool. That's encouraging, isn't it? Sometimes we just see the dark. And he don't. Do you have a comment with that, or that's
it? Yeah, it's just pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book. I think I need to keep reading it more. How about you?
Amen.
Restoration. Now this is a little different term. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the house of the Lord had been finished, and he knew that they were going to go astray. 7:14. If my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So you have that. You have the blessings and the cursings. But he repeatedly says, kind of saying, I know you're going to mess up, but again, if you will turn and repent. And it's interesting, particularly John did, John Bell, a study with the minor prophets about how often, whether it's Daniel or Nehemiah, or others, they're praying for the people. Their prayer isn't just about them and their family. It's a prayer for the whole repentance of our nation. And that would be a good thing of a day of prayer of repentance for America. Okay? A day of prayer and fasting. Then we can help with the other prayer fasting for the state of America. Okay? And so there's the intervention of God's people in the world affairs. That's through prayer. Okay? Not that things shouldn't be done as well, but starts with that. So it's a lot broader than me is what I guess I'm trying to point out here. Psalm 30:5. Well, this is about a month's worth of class, I guess.
Pack it in, brothers. Pack it in.
Sing praises to the Lord, all you saints. Psalm 30:4. And give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, and this kind of fits with one Ron had, but joy comes in the morning. And you see David so often weeping in the Psalms, but then he kind of uses this phrase, but I remember, O Lord. He remembers his experience of being delivered by God. So he starts praising God, and he hasn't yet had his actual deliverance. But he starts praising him before he gets it because he knows that God is faithful. And just as God delivered him so many times in the past, right now I'm crying, I'm hurting, and what am I doing in the cave? But I'm going to praise you because I know you're going to deliver me. And that's kind of the big picture of prayer there. Request, I'm going to skip. Renewal, revive us again. Oh, yeah, skip.
I know we talked about it a while ago, but, you know, requests ain't always for you. You know, it's always, to me, requests is for other things. Like, I pray, you know, that this world turns back to God, our country turns back to God, because I said, you know, in my prayer, in God we trust. That's what this country was founded on. So, to me, request is not just for yourself.
Well, that's an excellent point.
And I don't think we need to think of that just what it's for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I emphasize that part of it too much.
Right.
Gimme, gimme.
Right.
But it's intercession for other people.
Right.
And that's another sign, I think, of maturity, when I'm praying a whole lot more for other people, depending on the situation, than I am just for me. That's a sign of maturity. And I see that in Paul's prayer list, hours and hours praying about all the churches and what's going on and wondering how the people are. And I guess he didn't know how to text or something, but he had to write these letters and talk to God about it. And maybe he's smarter than we are anyhow. So, yeah, good point. And it's almost 8. renewal. There's the verses there, but there's times in life will beat us down, and you're just kind of worn out on the battlefield, and you got to get some R&R, I guess. But and that's what I think Jesus, and I'm speculating here, but is that he's, I call it, every day he's working with the 12 knuckleheads and a bunch of whole other people, some of which come and whatever, and some of them don't get it, and some of them want to kill him. And it seems to me at night, he's got to go off and talk to Daddy. And, boy, I need some renewal. I need some strength to go back and to keep doing this. I'm willing to do your will, but, can't you get some better than these 12 guys? I don't know. But, things will beat you down. And this is very important. I think for our elders, we need to be praying for them. They have a really tough job watching over the flock, because sheep are smelly and nasty and rebellious and stupid,
right. And
all kind of other things. So they need renewal. They need strength. We need to pray for their strength and boldness to come and talk to us when things are wrong, and strength to keep doing the job. I've known a number of elders. It wore them out. It actually wore them to death because of the sheep. So anyhow, it's time. Take the sheet if you want it. I got it on PDF. I don't have it. I couldn't do it in Word, I guess. And Mary's got the scriptures. Email Mary that go with it. And the most important thing, practice it. But let's close again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we're able to talk about how you have done amazing things in our life and continue to do so. Help us to be more people of prayer. We see that all the great people of the Bible were prayer warriors, and they were talking to you often. And we know you love it. You're not bothered by us, quote, pestering you. You want to hear from your children because you love us, and you want us to pour out our hearts to you and let you know what's going on in our lives. But you also want to pour back into our lives your answer, your will, your purpose, and your plan for our lives. So help us to be listening for that as well, and to be practicing that in our lives. And then we give you praise and thanks. There are so many prayers that have been answered. We pray very often, personally and in this congregation, and we forget to thank you for the many, many, many prayers that you've answered, and most of all, of course, sending your son. And just help us to exemplify this in our week, and again with those that are traveling, to have a blessed and wonderful time. And we thank you for Jesus. Amen. Go do it.